could you, one asks oneself after watching Food, which is a, it's true, it is like a horror film, but...
Well, it's scary, right? I'll tell you, you know, what it is, it's the real life Michael Clayton. You know, they don't want you to know, and they'll do a lot to stop you. And it's, turned out to be more of a thriller than I was prepared for.
You know, I always was under the impression, one of the things, of course, it looks at is popcorn. I always was under the impression that Amhydrous, Amhydrous, Amhydrous butterfat, was not a totally terrible thing to put into your system. Hello?
Hello?
Do you not hear me?
I heard you.
And I was just wondering, I mean, it's horrific.
yeah.
It just
is. I'm not a food expert. You know, I'm a filmmaker. But what, you know, what really hit home for me was the lengths these guys will go to, you know, there's this desire to have a sort of the myth that our food still comes from a small farm with a white picket fence.
Yeah.
The idea that they don't want you thinking about this food. And the lengths they'll go to stop you from knowing where it's grown and how it's grown and what's in it. You know, and for me, that's shocking. You know, one of the shocking moments was when we go to a hearing and that, you know, about whether we should label cloned meat or not. And that lady from the meat industry says, you know, we think it would be too confusing to the consumer to have that kind of information on the label. And I realized, you know, that happens time and time again, whether it's, you know, GMOs where they say it's really good for you, but there's no way they're going to put it on a label, you know, or on EST, the growth hormone for the dairy cows, you know, they just will do everything to deny you access to this kind of information.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's scary, but it's, the thing is, it's all part of a bigger pattern. That they don't want transparency. So, you know, in making Food Inc., we're not saying what people should eat, but we're saying people should have the right to know what they're eating.
Yeah.
And we wanted to have, I think it's really important to have conversations about, you know, how are we going to feed everyone? And to have all different parties. And it's really distressing that these people did not want to be part of that conversation. I think it's a real mistake, and it's, you know, it's not good for anybody, because I really believe that the system we have now is not a sustainable system, and we're going to have to figure out something new.
We have, it's pretty common now to see kids that are morbidly obese who are 2, 3 years old, 4 years old. They don't, it doesn't change, because their diet is pretty well established and they're used to it.
64% of the United States. I mean, facts are, no, listen, my challenge in the film is that facts are dull, you know, that you're always, you know, how do you make, tell the story in an exciting way?
Yeah.
How do you make, you know, the thrill that it is? But 64% of Americans are either overweight or obese, and I'm just staring at some right now. And most of those 64% more are obese than they are overweight.
Right. Now, when we say 64%, we mean adults, children, the
everybody.
Not just the working population, but everybody right down to 2-year-olds.
Everybody.
Right.
And, you know, the thing that's really interesting, because on one hand, pay very little for this food, you know, and I guess that's a great achievement.
Yeah.
But it comes with so many, you know, hidden costs.
Right.
And, that, you know, I guess, again, that's part of the transparency. We should know, you know, we should celebrate the achievements, but we should also recognize the hidden costs.
And
when I was a kid, food cost 18% of our paycheck.
Yeah.
Today it costs 9%. That's a great achievement.
Right.
But the problem is, when I was a kid, health care cost 5%. And today it costs 18%. You know, so in aggregate, it's gone up.
Right. Well, that's our wonderful friends at the AMA and their determination to do what they can to stop any socialized health medicine. But, you know, it's funny. There's an interesting little anecdote. I just happened to be watching a film called Experiment in Terror. It's a 1962 film.
Oh, wait, in Candlestick Park?
Yes. It's in black and white with Glenn Ford and Lee Remick. And
I remember as a kid that I was a Giants fan, so it meant a lot. But I forget what the story is.
Well, I saw it on DVD not too long ago. Anyway, the long and the short is there's a scene by a swimming pool. Stephanie Powers plays the younger sister of Lee Remick, and she and her high school age friends are all sort of hanging out at this pool. And right away, as I saw all these kids hanging around the pool and going off that high dive and everything, I said, what's wrong here? This is really strange. It seems like it's taking place on another planet. Then I realized all the kids were in shape. Everybody's in shape. And it's just, it's unthinkable that you could go to a typical pool in any public high school or, you know, or any kind of public pool and not see basically as many people as you do who really have concerns with their weight. I mean, that's
you know what's really interesting?
Yeah.
This has all happened very subtly without people noticing. There's been an incredible transformation that's taken place in the food that's affected us.
Yeah.
And, you know, things look the same. You go into the supermarket and these corporations spend a lot to have you not think that anything's happened.
Yeah.
But yet, there's been a fundamental transformation of this food system. You know, the chickens are grown, you know, been bred to have huge breasts, and they can't even stand under their own weight.
Yeah.
Tomatoes are totally, I like the line Michael Pollan says, they're notional tomatoes. You know, they're bright red, they don't bruise, but they don't have any flavor, and they have no nutrition, they have very little nutrition.
I knew you'd depress me sooner or later, because I make a point of eating lots of salads with tomatoes. I love my mozzarella and tomato salads. Now you're telling me that even my tomatoes are not doing anything for me.
Well, you know, when people see the film and they say, I'll never eat chicken again, that's not the point. You know, the point is, the industrial system has, you know, is basically gotten so good at giving us cheap calories, but unfortunately, there's no nutrition and no transparency. So something is going askew, and it's gone across the board for all products. You know, someone will say, you didn't really talk about fish. You don't have to talk about any. Every item has been affected.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, though, of course, the people that suffer most from corporatized food and bad food and fattening food are, of course, the...
I'm walking by them as we speak.
Okay. The people that are afflicted by the syndrome the most are, of course, the people that are you know, cost-conscious about food and are less exacting in terms of what they eat. That means the, you know, the lower middle class...
Well, the problem of the system is that we're subsidizing a food that is making people sick and it's costing people a lot of money.
Right.
And that's why I thought that family was so important to see, because, you know, here they are, and now they're spending $500 a month. You have to correct this now, because he's talking about 2 weeks and he had additional costs. They're about $500 a month, and it looks like the little girl might be getting, you know, she has preconditioned for early onset. So, you know,
it's
a disease that just has been developed.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't call it early onset. It was both onset. And now it's early onset because, you know, teenagers are getting it.
Yeah.
And it's costing that family that doesn't have enough money, going to cost them $500 and maybe more money in the near future. So it's one of those high costs that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then there's the environment. It goes on and on. You know, it just... There are multiple high costs.
Wouldn't it be nice if organic food was, A, more plentiful, at restaurants, I mean, and markets for that matter, and, B, wasn't as horrendously expensive as it can seem to your person really watching their, you know, watching their budgets. I mean, it's cheaper to eat crap is what it comes down to. Let's face it.
Well, our crap is subsidized, and that's part of this, you know, that's the insidiousness of the story, is that we created, you know, subsidized food that makes us sick, and then we also provide the worst food to the National School Lunch Program.
Yeah.
You know,
oh,
so
right.
We're training kids at early age to eat the worst food. You know, and I didn't talk that much about it in the film, but, you know, that Downer
Yeah.
Can't even walk. You know, and it's foaming at the mouth. You know, just gross. Where is it going? The National School Lunch Program.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my. Well, how long did you work on it?
Eric Schlosser and I have been talking about it for about 7 years.
Yeah.
But I worked full time for over 3 years on it, which is way longer than any film I've ever spent time on. And I also spent way more in legal fees on this film than my past 15.
Now, what profound, if one can you apply that word, changes in your own eating habits have come out of the result of making this film? What have you absolutely gotten rid of in your own life, and how have you changed personally?
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm not an absolute kind of person, and I'm not a, I think eating less meat would be better for you, probably to things like that, but the big thing is I just don't want to eat industrial food. It just doesn't taste the same to me.
Right.
But I'm not perfect. Sorry about this.
That's okay. Where are you? Where are you in town?
I'm in Central Park, 72nd Street. I'm just leaving the park because I'm going to be late for an appointment.
Okay, all right.
And then, of course, there's a cat that blocked me in. Only in New York.
So you're basically telling me that you have not really become a purist.
Well, I got distracted there. The answer is I don't want to eat industrial food. It just doesn't taste good.
Right.
I try to go to the farmer's market whenever possible.
Yeah.
Try to eat. If I go to the supermarket, I'll look for more organic things. And one thing I've learned is to start asking people things.
Mm-hmm.
I think the more we start asking, the more things are going to change.
Right.
Michael Pollan just told me about a website called The Dirty Dozen. It talks about the. One thing that I've found is, it's not only the, as I say, it's not only the industrial chickens that we see in the film, but like also the strawberries, that I saw, where people have to wear spacesuits to spray them. I'm thinking, wait a second, if they're wearing a spacesuit, why am I eating it? So that concerns me. So the Dirty Dozen are the 12 foods that you should really eat that are organic.
Right, right.
Because there's certain ones that you can survive not eating, But to me, going to the farmer's market has become like this religious experience. And I realize, I guess, to quote Wendell Berry, but they were just to me before, but eating is a political act.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden it starts to take meaning, which is these companies, are out to sell you as many calories as possible.
Yep.
And they'll use billions and billions of dollars to advertise it to you, and they'll, use sugars and salts to appeal to your genetic disposition.
Sure.
But we have to figure out how to go about getting ourselves.
Right.
And, unfortunately, the deck is stacked against us.
Because of what we find when we go into any typical market. Yes, of course. I've spent hours. Are you still there? Have I lost you? Hello?
Hi, go ahead.
Hi. No, I was just saying, I don't find shopping a religious experience. I find it a very draining and difficult experience because I go around and look at each thing that I would really love to buy and eat, and then I have the moment of, yeah, but you don't want to do that because, it has this in it and calories and everything. So I go from one thing to another. Everything is unappealing except really for the vegetables and
it's the more processed it is, the less good it's going to be for us. But I think, but I do come away realizing the system's going to change.
Yeah.
We're going to crack it. We cracked tobacco. And I think Eric's analogy that tobacco were the strongest corporations, they were totally connected to government, and they put out absolutely misleading information about the health of their product.
Right.
And I think there's similarities, you know, with food companies, and actually not only similarities, a lot of times they overlap and they're the same companies. But the fact is, when we start to get more information about the health of their product, as these things become more transparent, they're going to, you know, they're going to change or they're going to be defeated.
Right.
So,
yeah.
You know, that's where I'm saying I think we have to start to exercise our power as consumers, both with the breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you know, where we get to vote three times a day, but we also get to vote with our votes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we need to start changing things. But since Obama's come to power, things are starting to change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kevin's Law, where that kid, you know, ate the hamburger and died with the E. coli in it. You know, that meat stayed on the shelf for 2 weeks after he died because the USDA didn't have the power to recall that meat.
Right.
Which, you know, blew my mind. I didn't know that. And then, you know, right now it looks like they're going to start to gain. The FDA will start to have power to recall, and then hopefully USDA will start to have power to recall. So things are starting to change.
Mm.
But we need to, you know, we need to create a movement. As when we screened for Vilsack, he said, you know, he's not going to be able to change food subsidies.
Yeah, right.
Unless if there's a movement out there, he said, we can follow it.
Right.
So it's our job as consumers to start to demand this stuff. And that's where I think, you know, if you go to takepart.com, you'll start to see agencies, you know, listings, links, rather. Sorry, I'm walking. And you'll start to see links, you know, organizations you might want to join to be part of.
Well,
or at least see what's happening. If
you're putting out a very constructivist and positive message, and you're saying the right things, but unquestionably...
Hold on, I'm going to switch hands with that. My hand was going numb there. Okay.
But unquestionably, my reaction was one of profound gloom. I'm glad I felt that way, because I'm glad that I was immersed in that, because... But I just...
Well, you know what? We can't shoot ourselves. We have to keep eating.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing to remember is this system that, you know, I was talking about in this film, it's only about 40 years old.
What is only 40 years old?
This, you know, this chemical farming system.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's brand new. They call it conventional. Again, it's part of that Orwellian speak, you know. It's conventional, even though it's brand new. You know, 10,000 years we used, no chemicals. But now that's not conventional.
Right.
And this is conventional. It's the whole thing, Orwellian. You know, it's like nothing's changed, but yet it's fundamentally different. We have veggie libel laws to stop us from talking about it. Their way of farming is conventional.
Tell me again that website is called 12...
The Dirty Dozen.
What?
The Dirty Dozen.
Oh, sorry. Is it the Dirty Dozen or just Dirty Dozen?
You know what? If you go to Google, I haven't actually found it, but every time I've talked to someone, they've been able to find it away.
All right, okay.
I think it's try the Dirty Dozen.
Right.
But, you know, if not, try Dirty Dozen.
All right, okay. Very good. All right, man. Well, I hope that, it's really, really something to see. That's unquestionably true. I mean, it's not, I don't want to put this the right way. I'm very glad I saw the film, but I was not, I was not lifted up with happiness for what I've been putting into what we all put in our
body. You know what? Listen, what's exciting is we have to start looking.
Yeah.
We have to start seeing. And now, you know, I think on some levels these companies don't want you to see. And it's our job to start looking. And if we want to change the world, you have to keep your eyes open.
Right.
And as I say, I didn't want to turn people's stomachs. I wanted to, you know, turn their minds.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But I didn't go in as an activist. I actually hoped we would have dialogue with the agribusiness, you know, and have them update their point of view. Because I think a dialogue is essential, because this is an unsustainable world.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to fall off a cliff like the, you know, financial crisis fell off a cliff. seen a financial crisis, but it's not a paper world.
Right.
You know, when the earth has no more nutritional value, things don't grow. You know, when the seas and the rivers and things polluted, you know, you don't get fish don't live. You know, we're choking ourselves. So we need to start a conversation on a national and an international level is how do we feed ourselves?
Right.
And hopefully, you have big business taking part in that conversation instead of stonewalling.
Is there any such thing as a healthy hamburger?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Eric's not eating. You know, the answer is you can eat hamburgers, you can eat chicken. You know, obviously, meat has more of a negative effect than eating vegetables.
Right.
So, and perhaps we, the problem is we eat too much of it. But you know, you can grow pastured. You know, cattle and pastured chicken, and
yeah.
We used to, and we still are. You know, and there's going to be more of it.
How? What?
You know, we have to encourage these farmers on so many different levels. You know, it's. I mean, we have to encourage fair food on so many levels. You know, because the system we have is not fair to those workers, which bothered me.
What? Can you?
Obviously, it's not fair to the animals. It's not fair to the earth, and it's not fair to us as consumers.
What percentage, just to recap for people listening to this, would you say of the meat out there, how much of it has been comes from cattle that have been pasture-raised, and how many, what percentage of the market, available market for chicken have the chickens been raised?
All of this stuff is very small. And generally, you know, whenever they're legally about to, you know, people will, you know, farmers markets are going to have healthy food.
Yeah.
I just can't say enough. And not only that, they're going to create healthy communities.
Right.
You know, and they will be listed as organic because the rules go against small farmers. So sometimes certification is expensive. But, you know, so if farmers markets and CSA are just the greatest thing you can do. And, you know, the food's going to be good and it's going to be healthy.
Right.
Going to the supermarket, buy organic whenever you can.
Right.
But, you know, the word organic, on one hand, it's truthful. On the other hand, you know, we're going to have organic Cokes, which, you know, and the question is organic Coke better for you? It's certainly better for the land, but it's not good for you.
Coca-Cola, you said? Organic Coca-Cola?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're going to have organic Twinkies, organic Coca-Cola.
I love that, organic Twinkies.
In other words, you still need healthy food. Generally, the less processed, the healthier it will be.
Yeah, obviously, yeah.
But you can get these things. They can be good. And this is the fastest growing market. The question is, how do we keep bringing the prices down so that it can reach all people and be fair, you know?
Right.
And unfortunately, we're subsidizing the bad stuff and not the good stuff.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So, and we're paying for the bad stuff, both through subsidies and through health care.
And so I'm sure, what if miraculously there had never been this corporate tendency over the last 40 years to make the food less and less nutritious and so on? I would imagine that the incidence of cancer deaths would be considerably less.
Cancer, heart disease, and absolutely diabetes.
Yeah, yeah.
It's something like 5 out of 10 disease-leading diseases are caused, it's caused by us. I forget the wording of this, but basically, the things that we can control and have created. So I'm butchering that one, but
right.
You know, the answer is yes. This healthcare system has contributed. I mean, the system has contributed to our bad health. As I say, you know, we're spending all this money on it. I don't think these people set out to make the worst food. You know, I don't think it was like an evil. Like, how can we make the most unhealthy food and make the most profit? I think it's just been a continual process of how do we make more calories more cheaply and how do we get people to buy them?
Right.
And it's just kept going. And, you know, on some levels, our farmers and these companies have been really good at delivering this food to us. The problem is they've gotten too good.
Mm.
And they've lost sight of, you know, it no longer has the nutritional value.
Right.
You know, so they've solved lots of problems. It's just that it kept going in a direction that's not good. I don't feel the in an evil conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, the effect of it is that, you know, we're into thriller territory. Because, you know, unfortunately now, they're presenting a system that's gone astray.
You know what occurred to me, this is apart from its obvious potential as a DVD title, which I presume.
Wait, I didn't hear. Apart from the obvious what?
Apart from the obvious commercial potential of the DVD title, it sounds to me.
What about hopefully the theatrical title?
Well, yes, of course, the theatrical. That's what's happening today at the Film Forum and elsewhere. But we're.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the educational potential for kids in elementary, junior high. I mean, I would make a point of making sure kids see this in schools everywhere.
Well, take part, you're just a participant who funded it who did Inconvenient Truth. You know, their social component is as important as their theatrical entertainment component.
Yeah.
And this will be gotten to kids, and you know, it's really important. You know, funding the national, you know, changing the national school lunch program is essential.
Yeah.
You know, we training for a community similar to Baldwin Park where the diabetes is. And a reporter from the LA Times wrote me, you wouldn't have believed the anger in that room, and it felt like the birth of a movement.
Uh-huh.
You know, so that you want to be in these communities, you know, it's like, you know, people say, oh, isn't it elitist that we could all eat good food? I think it's elitist that we're subsidizing that makes people with lower income sick and have to pay for medicine and not good food.
Yes, because the elite in the economy are the ones that are benefiting.
Yeah, and that George Bush can go eat organic food in the White House and not tell anyone.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So, well,
it's very good talking to you, man. Thank you for taking the time.
My pleasure. Thanks a lot.
And I will again urge that people do see this. It is really essential viewing.
Yeah, get out there. Let's start a movement. So,
okay, man.
That'll be. Hopefully we can change things and get things going.
Yeah.
And get Tom Vilsack to start changing the farm bill to the food bill.
Good for you, Robert. Good.
Take care, man.
Good job.
Bye.
Take care.